I got a confession to make. Don't tell anybody, especially don't tell the producers, but I kind of like doing the night show.
I know.
It's kind of fun. I kind of enjoy
Me
it.
Too.
I also really like to complain about night show after dark.
I like doing that, yeah.
I love
it's not
it.
The worst.
I love imagining where Paul Pierce is right now and wondering how far away I am from his level of sobriety. He is hammered. We did not see him. Like, he was all over. I have real journalistic questions, actually, really? About Paul Pierce. Like, he was wearing a leather Letterman's jacket. Did he like make that himself?
No, it's the 70. It's the 70. It's the 75th anniversary jacket.
Oh, that was the real thing.
Yeah,
oh, that's so much better. That is so much.
Did you
better.
See? He's you see Jadakiss sitting over his shoulder? That was Jada, right?
No.
Yeah, Jadakiss was sitting. Oh, debatable.
Presented by Corona.
Oh, hello, welcome to Debatable Effect.
You forgot we were doing
presented
the show.
By Corona. Yeah, why did Bush knock down the... No, I won't do that. But
yeah,
the
Jadakiss
thing...
Why is a good song for Jada? There are lots of why questions to be asked in this game. I'm going to cut you off before you get us all cut off. And,
that was a good segue, though.
Paul Pierce has yet to be cut off.
In that city, the faucet is always on for Paul Pierce. Gosh. And Alabaster, I really enjoyed this game. Where should we start? What are we doing?
It was fun.
Yeah, I think we can start broad with this one. This was an awesome basketball game. We got like a good Celtics performance. We got an incredible Steph performance. We got a Warriors run. And the Celtics showed intestinal fortitude and came away with that game. My question to you is, what is your reaction leaving game three?
Are we
have to say intestinal fortitude after dark?
Yeah, are we?
Nah, you can say nuts. It's late enough.
Credit the intestines. Is that the body part? That's where I was going with that.
Yeah,
like, I was gonna go with just like I don't know, whatever part makes you rebound real good, like that part, because they out rebounded the Warriors. I'm looking this up right now. Yeah, 47-31. And when you're shooting a zillion jumpers and shooting a million threes, like that seems helpful. And so, yeah, here are the Celtics, yeah, taking control of a series at home with their intestines,
this is,
I guess.
I know this is too early for a detour, so I'll make it a quick one. I'd never actually given it any thought because people say intestinal fortitude as like a euphemism for like testicles. But other than the test, like your intestines is more like guts than it is nuts.
Yep,
but anyway.
Right. Definitely guts over nuts.
Yeah, it's a weird terminology. But anyway,
all up
the game
in
was,
them.
Is it fair of me? Is it fair of me to say I really enjoyed this game, but I do want like a close finish one time. Like even game one and game three were very, very well played basketball games. They were fun. Like I was into all of the adjustments. It was incredible theater and emotion and everything. But I just want one game where we don't know that is decided.
You'd love there to be a game where at home, I just ruined it.
Don't give up.
Who's the guy who forgot the score?
Intestines.
Who's a golfer now for NCANT?
Don't tell him. Let's just hang out here together.
This guy thing that Izzy can do.
This is the worst. J.R. Smith.
Oh, man.
I would love that if J.R. Smith were at home, he forgets the score at some point. And that it's important. Yes, I'm sorry I ruined the joke. We're back.
No. You didn't ruin the joke. You embodied the joke.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I meant to act as a joke.
The basic fact that J.R. Smith also did not know.
The basic fact.
But I like the idea of getting this conversation going with like a movie critic's review of this game. Because Dominique has a point. Like, I was trying to, I was ready for all of the bangs. I was ready for the gangbang, actually. In the group chat, I had to be like, was that the only bang this game? And yeah, the Marcus.
Sometimes the lone intimate bang is the bang you want to be a part of. But this wasn't that though, because it was the bang that we thought would create some version of a gangbang, or at least invite others to join.
It was more
and
like,
it was nothing.
It was interesting you to use the movie analogy, because I think that's right. Because in the movie, the climax is close to the end, but it's not like the finale. And that's what it felt like. It's like the climax right there. In other endeavors, the climax is the end. And I want to experience one of those other endeavors just one time.
Maybe for you it is.
Some would say that shot was money, but it wasn't the money shot.
Hey guys, let's talk about the basketball
look
game.
At it. Oh,
I know it's late at night, but an NBA Finals game just ended. The series just pivoted after like it's been up
right
and down
here.
And up.
The series, okay, so
there was no pivot in the series.
Well, this is part of the story, Alabaster, right? Like, did the series pivot? Because a lot of this was kind of very much in the framework that we've begun to understand and evaluate these games, right? Like, who won the turnover battle, right? Did the Celtics turn the ball over more than 16 times, at which point they become winless in the postseason? No, they did not do that. Did they out-rebound the other team?
Yes
they did do that. Did Jaylen Brown dribble the ball off his foot a zillion times? He did not.
Fouled more often than you would recognize, by the way. Because the referees don't think he can dribble, because we've all said that he can't dribble, people get away with some fouls on him. Let's continue.
He was aggressive. He was aggressive as hell off the jump, which I appreciated. And he was – the interaction between him and Draymond Green in game two was like the image that we had in our mind of Draymond controlling the game without putting up any statistics.
Oh,
so I thought it was
Draymond.
Important. Yeah, I thought it was important for – yeah, he had more fouls than anything tonight. But I thought it was important, like, as a tone setting for Jaylen Brown to be the one that was attacking the basket, leading them in scoring after the first – probably the whole first half, but most definitely the first quarter. Like, there was no fear. There was no discomfort. Apparently, Draymond reached level 12 of annoyance, according to Jaylen Brown. However, Jaylen Brown still, like, gave him the business. In the one play, I think it was in the second quarter, when Draymond blocked Jaylen Brown. The very same possession, Jaylen took it to right back to him and scored over him. Like, these are the like storytelling things that people who write about basketball like to focus on, and many of us think don't matter, but it felt like it mattered tonight to me, at least.
No, Izzy, in game two, right, where the Warriors took control of the series, anybody who wins is taking control. That's the trope we're now going to go with. Anybody who wins has taken control. So what happened was they put Draymond on Jaylen Brown, and that was incredibly effective. And this one, yes, 17 points in the first quarter for Jaylen Brown. And yes, the three guys, right, the three-headed monster of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, all of them had 25-5, the first time that's happened since, like, the Showtime Lakers. And so they survived, Izzy. They survived the third quarter. That was the best shot the Warriors had. And then after that, it felt like kind of just a refractory period. Admittedly.
Well, the thing about the Celtics is, you know, you look at game two and you saw that they saw that they fell in love with a three-pointer. And this isn't the first time that's happened to them in these playoffs. Like, they've had a game in probably one in each series where they just weren't aggressive enough. And then Ime Udoka reminds them to be aggressive, and they can be aggressive. And, you know, with Jaylen Brown, honestly, normally leading the way. And, look, I don't know if Jason Tatum's shoulder's really bothering him, but I just don't love the way he's been starting these games. And he eventually, like in today's game, found a better rhythm than I think he has found yet, because he's been able to drive. He's been able to use those arms and get the fouls. But until now, all we've been doing is watching him sort of rush through the drives and try to get the foul calls without much success. And not, you know, not really out-toughing it. Today, this second half, it seemed like he found a way to be himself. More against this defense, and frankly, it's Jaylen, it's Brown that allowed him to do that by taking over the game early, and that's why I picked Brown as the MVP for the series going into the series. I thought he would have to do that more regularly, and Jason would kind of like sort of steady the ship when necessary. That's pretty much what happened today.
And Steph doesn't have that luxury, which has become more and more apparent. Like, I refuse to accept the idea that the Celtics took the series back. Like, I feel like the Celtics have owned this series the entire time. To me, at least, I think they got the split in Golden State, as what everyone says that they want. They didn't win the second game, but it didn't feel to me like the Warriors were significantly better in that game, in the same way that it felt like the Celtics, to me, were better in the last game and in this game. And it seemed like the Warriors really struggled to score if they didn't play drop coverage on Steph, or if he didn't get free for a clear shot, or there wasn't a turnover or some sort of transition. Other than that, like, I'm beating around the bush. Klay Thompson scored 25 points, but Klay Thompson was bad. And it was a problem. If he would
look at the big three of each team, like, I don't even know if you would call, who you would call the third for Boston. Would it probably be Smart? Right?
Tonight it was Smart, but you could argue it's Horford for most.
Horford another night. Tonight, you could argue it's
Rob Williams. They don't play enough minutes. They were great, but they don't play enough minutes to be the third. Smart's the third. They depend on Smart for a lot more.
So line them up, those guys. Line them up. 1, 2, and 3. Jason Tatum and Steph Curry. Yes, Steph Curry's having a better series. Steph Curry probably demands more of the defensive attention, so we'll give Steph Curry the edge there. But go to the second person. Is it Draymond versus Jaylen, or is it Klay versus Jaylen?
Either way,
and that's where the problem is.
Either way, it's a blowout.
Right. Yeah. No, and it's Klay right now. Draymond was abysmal in this game. I mean, Draymond, for all of his new media talk, like, I am fascinated as to how he's going to defend himself against himself when he interviews himself on a podcast.
Well, guys, I kind of thought Klay was like, he rose from the ashes tonight. Like, I was blasting him on our text there, being like, he stinks now.
No, you guys buried him. Yeah. And he began to hit threes. I mean, that, by the way, when we talk about Klay being awesome, we're talking about him hitting threes. Like, the ability to do pretty much anything else is theoretical now at this point. And I think that's where Dominique is going. I think that's where the doubt is coming from. But I think that when you talk about, okay, Jason Tatum is, you're talking about how Jaylen Brown enabled it.
So did attacking Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Steph had been excellent. Excellent playing defense. But tonight, Dominique, I mean, you saw it, man.
Yeah. Yes, they attacked Steph time and time again. They started doing the hunt Steph thing. In game two, Steph held up and made some good defensive plays. In this game, he was in foul trouble from the jump. And then he also couldn't stop anybody. I thought it was interesting late in the game when they were obviously hunting him with Jason Tatum. And they were switching back, which Jason Tatum was giving them time. He was like waiting and stalling to give them time to switch back. And that speaks to the point Izzy was making earlier about Tatum being aggressive. You're better than everybody out there. Like, when you have the ball, there's no one out there that can stop you. Play that way. And I think this
is... Look, I'm not going to have a problem. He's playing a little soft. He's been playing soft, and not soft in like he's not attacking, but when he's not getting the calls, it's soft. Like, he is not there. And so if he just recognizes that, you know, they're not going to break him. Like, just go ahead and work through the contact and, like, just tough it out. Don't complain every single drive, and maybe you'll get some of those calls.
So this conversation, sponsored by Corona, never soft. That's not a slogan. I just tried to make a segue out of this.
No, but that is a strip club name.
Yeah.
Oh, James Harden.
Absolutely.
Pablo, before you go.
Go ahead.
Because I wanted to – this team – is constantly compared to the pre-Kevin Durant championship team. But that's with the idea that Jordan Poole is a spectacular offensive option, even off the bench.
Well, it's a couple of things, right? It's the idea that Klay Thompson is a two-way player. It's the idea that Draymond Green, who had 2, 4, and 3 and more fouls,
can maybe score 30. Maybe once, right? Because he did that back then.
Or can even have more than, 15 points to 15 fouls, a nice 1-to-1 points to foul ratio, which is a stat that I've just attended.
People forget Sean Livingston, such a steady performer. People forget, obviously, Harrison Barnes.
Big guard,
people forget Leandro Barbosa had Maurice
Iguodala.
Like, and a much better Iguodala. Like,
let's
these are actually players who contribute. You look at these Warriors, and it's three guys, and it's maybe Wiggins, but it's mostly three guys, and one of those guys will give you a quadruple single, and unless they win, you're never going to point out the defense that he plays. So it's just not the same caliber, I don't think. This is why I said the Warriors were a championship team.
If you're going to play a first half really like the Warriors played, and you're going to like demand the viewing public to wonder, like, what do you do when the other team is bigger and more athletic and more physical and they attack the rim all the time? Like, how do you stop that? I don't think they ever discovered the answer, right? Do you put in Alabaster? Do you put in Kevon Looney? Because Draymond's not doing it. Like, seriously, when they attack the rim, what do you do?
Well, that's actually an interesting point, and I'm going to completely steal this analysis from Zach Lowe and his podcast after game one, where he said – the Warriors and their identity that we have become accustomed to is that small ball Warriors team. And Jordan Poole is essential for that. But if he is a liability where he can't really help the team anymore, you have to play Kevin Looney. And then they're not the Warriors anymore. The spacing's different. You have a center out there. You're not this, like, you know, offensively dynamic force where everyone can score and dribble. That's just not the case.
If you're going to be in real trouble if you turn into Kevin Looney. Like, that's going to be a real challenge if you think you can win with Kevin Looney, because you can't even win with Kevon Looney, which is actually a basketball player for the Warriors. And so
it's after right next to each other on the keyboard.
In Atlanta, whenever Kevin Herter has a good game, he becomes Kayvon. And so you're saying that Kevon Looney is going to become Kevin.
Yeah.
Because he's struggling. Okay. Got it.
I like that. So, all right. So first, undercut that particular alabaster point. I want to go back and undercut another alabaster point. Klay Thompson there was no Klay Essence tonight. Like, there was no reawakening. He hit more shots than he hit in this series. Fair. But it feels like then he has all playoffs, but he has some good games earlier in the playoffs. But he was not good. Like, when they tried to let the offense, or they wanted to lean on him offensively to carry them, he was incapable. Like, when they needed him to make the shots, he was missing them. There were open, clear looks, and then on the other end, he's not a defensive stopper like he was before. So, Klay Thompson, greatest of all time, one of those guys, great shooter, blah, 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 should have been one of the top 75. He ain't that guy no more, and I don't know when he's going to become that guy, but if he don't by next game, they don't really have much of a shot, in my view.
Alabaster.
I got to push back a tiny bit on that, because that's actually what Poole's supposed to do. Klay's supposed to be a catch and shoot guy who's, like, you know, the ultimate version of a 3-and-D. Obviously, his defense is not what it was pre-injury, but he's supposed to be a jump shooter. That's supposed to be Poole's role. He's supposed to be the tertiary ball handler who's creating shots for everyone in that unit.
I think we're saying two different things. I'm talking about who is the crux of the offense. So Ray Allen can be the crux of an offense without being the ball handler. Like, they were running plays designed for Klay Thompson to get shots, and he was missing them. I understand your point, but if Jordan Poole, if you're relying on Jordan Poole to be your number two offensive option, like, I think you've already lost. Like, Klay Thompson, you need him to step up.
What I am saying specifically is, and I may have already said this at one point, so I apologize, but 3-and-D is a strip club that James Harden has long advanced past.
Yeah, that was a starter club. I was trying to
thank you for saying it for the night. It's one of those situations where you look at the regular season and you see what Jordan Poole can do, and it's basically, yeah, he can do that in the regular season when it's not a 7-game series against, you know, one of the more talented teams in the league. And so, you know, you look at I'm sorry to do this, but, like, there's a whole conversation about, like, Tyler Hero or Jordan Poole.
Oh, let's do it.
One is 6'1", and one is 6'5", and one is a shot creator who can do that against, you know, regardless – of what the defense really is. And the other one, again, is just a smallish guy who's going to get overwhelmed defensively. So you just got to really look, and when you see a regular season team and you see regular season performers, and just say, hey, how does that really translate in the playoffs? And even Tyler Hero didn't translate particularly great into these playoffs. So Jordan Poole, because of the size and everything else, is going to be worse.
Can you play defense is the question. And the answer for Tyler Hero and Jordan Poole is pretty much no. I'm going to buy stock in no as the answer to that question. But I want to talk about somebody who can play defense, because the name we have not said enough, Alabaster, and I want to please your basketball nerd hipster brain here, is just Time Lord. We got to talk about Time Lord. Robert Williams, right, at one point was the best player defensively on the Celtics. He was the skeleton key, could switch everything, could stop everything. And in game three, look, the 10 points is not going to blow you away, but if you watch this game, the rebounds, he had 8 of them, the blocks, he had 4 of them, the health that he had, he was dominant in the paint, and he changed all of the shot trajectories of anybody who came by him. And it's just like, it's the depth of this team.
Like, and he's hurt.
And
he's
still
not even
hurt.
Close to 100%.
And he's still hurt, but he's doing that. I mean, it's ridiculous to have him as a luxury good when you're in the NBA Finals.
He's the difference. He's what, like, elevates this team from, and obviously the slight improvements that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have made, and Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart sometimes has a bit of a dumb off every once in a while in a game. But anyway, he is the difference. He is what elevates them to a dominant team that, can overcome some offensive lapses, whether it's, you know, Jaylen Brown's turnovers or Jason Tatum just kind of falling asleep a little bit, or Marcus Smart, you know, not making the smartest decisions. He is what keeps them stable. And some of those shot blocks, like some of those block shots, are not only going to affect this win, but the next one and the next one. Like the Miami Heat, like PJ Tucker got so many shots blocked, 3-point shots blocked in the corner, that he just stopped shooting them because dude was just going to come and send them. And so he is phenomenal. And again,
Miami, he played
probably
well tonight.
Running
good
at
job.
About 65%. That was one round ago, Dominique. Who else am I going to compare it to? 2 rounds ago?
I mean, I think we should give some love to Grant Williams too. I thought he hit some big shots and he was effective on D. It seemed like the Warriors at a certain point were trying to hunt Grant Williams with Steph Curry. They thought he was the guy. They couldn't get Time Lord into the switch. Yeah. So they were going at Grant Williams, and I thought he played incredibly
Grant
well.
Grant looked bad in that spot in game one.
Yeah,
right.
He played well in this situation, in this game. Do we have to give the fine life player to somebody, or am I premature? Is it premature fine lifing?
We should do that because that's going to take us somewhere.
We can hop over to it because I actually have a question coming off of it. And this is ooh. I'm going to go full trolley ESPN question.
No, we want the fine life.
Yeah,
let
so this
know.
Is the fine life presented by Corona, where we're going to highlight a positive performance from this game. And to me, that's clear. The Warriors have been carried in this series by Stephen Curry, even in losing efforts. He's quieted all of these doubts about his dominance in final series and what he can do with a less talented roster. And to me, Steph Curry is living the fine life presented by Corona. But the question I have for you, win or lose, right now, is he your finals MVP?
Okay, well, hold on, though. You know who doesn't want Steph Curry to live the fine life, or even, let's say, finest life? Not just Al Horford. We can talk about Al Horford in a second. But Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr benched him in that third quarter. Like, I know he had 4 fouls. I know that you wanted to preserve him for the fourth quarter for some push. But, like, it is crazy. What did Alabaster, tell me what Steph Curry had box score-wise. Yes, here we go. 12 of 22. 6 of 11 from 3. You know what I want more of? I want more shots. Like, yeah. I agree. Steph Curry is basically unguardable in this series. And yet, why are we not getting more of him? That is the question that I think Warriors fans may be haunted by when they look back and play back these games.
Assuming he's okay, assuming his ankle isn't bad after that little scrum where Al Horford kind of accidentally landed on him, I think that's what we're going to end up seeing. Like, we're still going to see, you know, hey, Clay, if you're hot, we're going to keep going to you. But what else are they – where else do they go? You know, it's not like they're going to ISO Andrew Wiggins or even post up Andrew Wiggins. It's just going to be, hey, run your stuff, see if you can get a shot. If not, Steph, save us. And that's where he's probably most suited now than he's ever been, because through that little lull of, you know, whatever they had, a couple of non-playoff seasons, when he was in there, that's what he did, because they weren't running the beautiful Warriors offense with all these new guys. And so he just had to find his. So he played that way, sort of Allen Iverson-ish for a half a season or so. And now he's sort of got all the tools because they still play Warriors offense, but he can still take his guy and kind of, you know, play one-on-one. I think he's, since 17-18, the best ISO scorer in the playoffs. And so, yeah, I think that's going to be their best option. If he's going to play 40 minutes and just try to score 45 and put a lot of pressure on himself.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Steve Kerr is preserving him. I assume that he felt like this was not a game that Steph could win. Like, if they had a lead going into the fourth, maybe, because he set the beginning of the fourth too, I think. Yeah, maybe he would have. Yeah, maybe he would have kept him in.
And to your point, Dominique, Steve Kerr pulled the starters when the game was in reach, like 2 minutes left.
Yeah,
he's basically like, this is not ours today. We're out. For that reason, we are out.
As a veteran coach with a championship pedigree, you can get away with doing things like that. And maybe he's right. Maybe it's the right thing to do, especially when you have an aging roster like they have and they don't have any support for Steph offensively. Him getting the MVP, like, I can't see that happening. If LeBron didn't get it that year when got it, the year that Steph should have got it, then there's no chance that they're going to get it. I don't know that this game, that this series goes seven, and it's going to have to go seven to give it to the losing guy, and he's going to have to put up 40 and triple doubles multiple times, which I think is what LeBron did, and he still didn't.
All right, who's the MVP then? Right now, three games in, who's the MVP then if the Celtics win?
To me, it's Jaylen. And if Jason Tatum's numbers crawl ahead of him, then it's Jason Tatum. But right now, yeah, I think it's Jaylen Brown.
So I believe that Steph Curry
Marcus
and
Smart.
Are going to win in seven. So I'm going to stick with Steph Curry. You guys can do the thing of, like, trying to pick between these Celtics. Does Al Horford, though, not get any votes from you guys?
Hell no.
You saw that, Dominique. Imagine trying to track that that bomb he threw to Jalen Brown.
It was 6 points, no matter who's covering.
That was incredible.
Al Horford is great. Al Horford is 36. Al Horford plays a game, then he takes the game off. Then he plays a game.
He does do that.
So I don't think that he deserves MVP. I'm much older and I can't play one game, let alone walk my way through a second game. So good for him, but MVP is absurd. I think Marcus Smart, you can make the argument for him. It's more of a Iggy argument that he took on the most important defensive assignment throughout the course of the series. But I don't know. I think it's got to be Jaylen Brown, considering what he's done so far in this series.
I mean, in that respect, though, it actually could end up working in Steph's favor to win it, because it would be split. Like, if you don't get the media huddling up and being like, hey, who are we voting for? Because a few of you vote for Marcus, a few of you vote for Jaylen, a few of you vote for Jason. Those four San Francisco writers over there are going to get Steph Curry to win the MVP.
I do love the absurd power that the media has when it comes to voting for these things.
What do you mean absurd?
It's
appropriate.
Who else watches the games closer than we do? Let me clarify. Absurd in a good way. Like, it's just an intense amount of power. And we have it. We royally have it when it comes to, like, voting for all the NBA stuff. Certainly, it's like a Senate of 100 voters. And this is like a dozen people or so, maybe even fewer than that, sitting like courtside, where they come around and be like, all right, write on your piece of paper who it is, and the whole, like, yeah. You know.
I've always wondered, like, how official that really was. Like, do they keep those little, like, not really, like, the same size each, like,
if
somebody was cutting them with scissors?
If only they knew the technology used to tabulate these votes. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, Alabaster, how do you feel after watching this game? Because I am impressed that the Celtics weathered the third quarter, but I'm also not surprised that they did. I figure this is going to be a long series. I sort of see this going as we kind of thought it would.
Yeah, I don't think anything has broken that much. Going into the series, I thought the Celtics are the more talented team, and the Warriors, you know, perform better in big game situations. So that's to form. But I do want to inform you guys on one thing. Speaking of the media and the new media, Draymond Green was asked at his post game availability if his podcast is tipping X's and O's. And he quickly said that was a reach by the question asker. But to your point, with great power comes great responsibility. And the Celtics are beating up on podcasters.
did you notice that somehow Draymond Green orchestrated a situation where he could be like body rolling all over Jalen Brown again?
Yo,
like in back to back games,
amazing.
He's just sloppy body flopping all over Jalen Brown. It's so like
all those videos from game two.
He used Jalen Brown as his personal slip and slide. And I don't know how he then got up and complained about it. Like, it was, you know, those wooden figures where someone, like, who knows martial arts is, like, punching off. It's like, that's what he did to Jaylen Brown. He fouled him in all over his body, rolled on it, and then was like, how dare you? It's amazing.
All right, so we know how much Draymond Green gets away with the officials, all right? And frankly, I'm probably here to tell you he gets away with a lot more with Steve Kerr than most other players would. Are we nipping the being a broadcaster / podcaster and a player in the finals in the bud in the future for everybody else? Like, could you imagine like Pat Riley's teams having somebody giving any sort of X's and O's explanations on a podcast during a series?
It's having a Pat Riley coach or a Pat Riley led team doing this is as unlikely as you picking another team to use as
reference. Yeah,
guys, I got to interject.
Strictly one reference.
Duncan Robinson literally has a podcast on the Miami Heat.
He's not on the team.
Did he do them? During the finals of 2020? Did he do them during the conference finals this year?
I don't think so. I think he was mostly legally on the Miami Heat as opposed to functionally.
Dunkie had a total of 12 minutes that whole series.
I'm just saying. I think Draymond's doing a little bit too much of motivating the opposition.
It's a fair point. It is. I hadn't thought about this, but like, it is kind of crazy that we haven't gotten coach mad at player for podcasting during the NBA Finals storyline. Like, that feels like a layup.
At least CJ McCollum's not in the playoffs anymore.
No, yeah, we are. You got a first take topic for tomorrow. Call Stephen A. up. Send him a text. Draymond is too focused on his new media to win the finals.
His takes. He's too focused on his takes. More. He's focused on making the wrong kind of point.
At some point, we only got 2.5 minutes. At some point, I would like to put up my favorite picture of the night, and we will not explain it to the podcast audience because I don't respect them.
I got you.
You really don't.
I got you.
There it is.
Wow, man.
I love it.
This Dominique.
We have to explain it because the way Pablo would explain it is probably amazing. Go ahead, Pablo.
No, I want to give credit to Dominique as an art critic here because he saw this image and knew that this was a special work of art.
It didn't take much. It spoke to me. And if it didn't speak to you, you don't have any hearing. It was just beautiful.
I mean, the thing that I want to talk about is like what on the Pantone wheel you'd call the colors. On this man's body. Because there is the one form of white and then the other form of white, but they're clearly different.
So I'm going to steal this from my text messages that I got from our friend Spencer Hall. I think boiled shrimp pink was one of the, was one of the colors that you can pick up at your local Lowe's or Ace Hardware if you need to paint your room.
And then it was what, the ceiling white? Right? The flat white.
That is, yes, that
flat
is.
Flat white.
Yep. Commercial toilet white is also a tone there.
Yeah, if I can go with like unwashed pillowcase.
So I spent a lot of time on this photo and I started thinking about this was like he had help. So not only did he think this was a good idea, he had a friend or a loved one. I like to think that was his wife or girlfriend.
There was at least two Brads in the room. At least.
I was helping him out with this.
I mean, and it's funny because he could have picked Peyton Pritchard because kind of similar tones, right? But no.
Course not. Mm-mm. So I want to
know. Name over everything.
Alabaster, did you like... Are you doing the show from Boston?
What does the front look like?
I cannot confirm or deny that is not me.
Oh, man. I don't know if Alabaster's thumbs are boiled shrimp pink. I think they're Washington, D.C.
They're Alabaster. Alabaster.
They are. I like the idea
of the front of the jersey also saying white, by the way.
By the way,
is that me?
There it is.
I forgot everything.
Find this.
Oh my God.
Because you know what it is? It's a video of a couple of dudes just living the fine life. Brought to you by Corona.
I called him the golfer from North Carolina. Before I could remember his actual name.
The golfer from North Carolina.
I'm living some fine life over here.